This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week. On the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3, KTAR, here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
Welcome to The Think Tank. I'm Mike O'Neill here with Mike Russell. And I suggest this week we should talk about the NSA surveillance, the Obama speech on the same and related issues.
Is it my birthday?
This one would get you going.
I'm excited.
I want to talk first briefly about the speech. It was an interesting kind of the analysis of the structure of the speech. He starts out with historical references, the Fourth Amendment. And this goes back to issues that are older than America, about how far the government can go in intruding on our privacy. You know, when the Constitution was written, it was about British soldiers breaking down our door. But as it's been interpreted, the issues about government's rights or lack of rights to monitor our phone calls are really imputed to be about the same thing. What I want to suggest is, as a country, we tend to do bad things when we get scared. Most recently, I think the immediate stuff that we're engaged in right now is all byproducts of the fact that after 9/11, we went a little nuts.
You're referencing the Patriot Act, right?
Yeah. Patriot Act and everything. That was certainly part. Absolutely.
Right.
But you know what? There's a lot of historical precedent for this.
Okay.
In World War II, after Pearl Harbor, what we did to the Japanese in this country, Japanese American citizens were all embarrassed by that. In the 1950s, it was communism. That was back when those Russians were 9 feet tall and invincible.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe McCarthy said there's 257, I don't know the number, but it was a very specific number. He never produced one, but he said there's that many communists in the State Department, and the country freaked out. In the 1960s, the government went after anti-war protesters. They went after Martin Luther King, and they weren't just doing surveillance. I mean, they're sending him notes saying you ought to commit suicide or else this information is going to get out. They weren't just investigating. And then we have 9/11 and the Patriot Act. I think we got to see this as all kind of forms of the same thing. We get scared.
To what end, though? Are we justifying it because of that?
Well, I think that's what always has been. There is a tension in the Fourth Amendment that says that we shall be secure in our homes and property against, quote unquote, unreasonable searches and seizures.
Correct.
Now, that doesn't give us an absolute right not to be searched. What it protects us against is an unreasonable search. And the whole word comes down to what is unreasonable. And historically, when we get scared, what happens is we push the envelope and say it's more important that the country as a whole, there's a threat. We have to be secure against that. And so we're willing to threaten personal liberties more. I'm not saying we should. I'm saying I think it's inarguably historically that is what we have done.
Those that are leading, those that are ruling, so to speak, are the ones that would be quick and have the knee-jerk reaction. We need to strip civil liberties. I highly doubt you would poll each of the ones that are impacted by this, meaning the citizens, and say, how many of your civil liberties are you willing to give up in the name of 9/11 puppies? You got to remember 9/11. Do you realize that this far removed from 9/11, 12 years, 13 years now removed from 9/11, we, to this day, when you hear 9/11, you are supposed to shut up.
Yep.
You don't defend that. You don't argue against. They just say 9/11, and you're supposed to sit down like a dog.
10 years ago, that worked almost perfectly.
Oh,
and it was a completely intimidating thing.
Right.
10, 12, 13 years later, it's starting to wear off, but it's still an issue. And, you know, having done public opinion on these kinds of issues, mm-hmm. I'll tell you how people react to this, and it's hard to figure out and truly justify. What they say is, no, we don't want to protect the rights of those bad guys, those terrorists, whatever. I don't think the government should search me.
Right.
But you know, it's okay if you go after the bad guys.
Sure.
And the problem is, on the front end, you don't know who the bad guys are.
Exactly.
And so we have this tension there. We would like to have total liberty. We also don't want to get hit again.
Hittigan. That's in Hittigan. Let's drill down on that real quickly. Prior to 9/11, how many mass casualty terror attacks have happened on our soil?
The last time anything happened on our soil, Pearl Harbor was vaguely okay. American. Okay. Okay. Before that, it was the War of 1812.
Okay. Yes. And so how many have happened since?
None.
For one instance.
Well, I mean, smaller instance.
Exactly.
Small.
For been one, yeah. One incident, yeah. 9/11.
One pretty big one. But yeah. But it, and it was,
and, it
and it was one that changed our psyche, though. I mean, I remember.
I would say that, but I don't think it allows us, in using the precedent that you said, the bad moves that we've had in the mm-hmm. past, the historical precedent, we have historical precedent of slavery as well. We're not going to do that again. We need to stop the cycle and not say, well, look, as the president did, Paul Revere did it. We yep. did it with spy balloons. No, it needs to stop.
Well, the question is how far? I think this is not an absolutist thing. If we don't do anything, and by the way, this is interesting because I'm a whole lot closer to your side.
Yes,
of this
thing. Right.
It's just I'm not quite willing to take it to zero. But
and that's a good point too. I don't think a lot of people want to go down to zero as gathering intelligence from around the world and our networks and things. I don't think that. Anyone wants to go to zero.
In fact,
we're not anarchists. We just want our civil liberties
the
protected.
The point of my historical references was that when we get afraid, we almost always go too far. We panic and we throw the baby out with the bathwater and we say, let's turn life over to the security people. They're going to make us more secure, and that's what we really are concerned about.
I think I'm more cynical than you. I know I'm more cynical than you. And I think that it's our politicians. It's our politicians that have that reaction and see it not only to protect us. They see it as a jobs program. They see it as an expansion of power. And they see it as an expansion of government, and they jump at any opportunity they can, because how much are we going to dial back? We're never going to dial it back. Once it's there, it's there.
You know, I think the case of Obama is especially an interesting one because he's a constitutional lawyer.
It's
and everything about his training suggests that he would be way, way on the side of liberty on this. But I think what happened, he got to be president, and it's one of two things. Either one, politically, he says, if anything happens under my watch, they're going to crucify me.
Okay.
Or number two, and we don't know this, he is the guy who gets the security briefings. And the question is there stuff he sees every day that scares the heck out of even a civil libertarian?
And it's just like George W. Bush said. He said he will change. He'll be a changed man after his first security briefing. And it looks like that might have happened. More on NSA, the president's speech, when we come back. Dr. Mike O'Neill, Mike Russell, you're in the think tank. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We are in The Think Tank. I'm Mike O'Neill here with Mike Russell, getting him exercised.
That's right.
I want to go back to really the one specific of the Obama speech, and it's something that I think we need to know about what exactly government is able to do now. And what they can't do. And there was only one change that he really made in what he's allowing government to do. Under the current regime, which he inherited from George W. Bush, if there's a terrorist cell out there in Yemen or somewhere else outside of this country, and they're monitoring it, they are collecting what they call metadata on who calls whom. And let's say they find that there's an unusual number of calls from this terrorist cell to one Michael Russell in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
That gives them, under the current regime, the right to look into your phone calls. Now, Mike Russell calls Mike O'Neill. That puts me into the network. That gets me into the system, too. I'm the second level.
Okay.
Mike O'Neill calls his son Matthew. Matthew is the third level. Under the current regime, prior to the most recent presidential regime, you can go after my kid as well and look into his calls. What Obama said no is that's too far. Take my kid out of it. We can only go 2 degrees out.
Okay. 2 degrees of separation. How does that still save my civil liberties? How does that save your civil liberties?
It means the net is narrower than it was. It means that it's not absolute.
Okay.
And
but Okay, let's say he were to get up there and say that he was going to only do top line metadata, and that he wasn't going to store it as he suggested. Yeah. He wanted another offsite company, probably the phone companies, I would assume.
Yeah, I got
they would be storing this, which means nothing.
It's still
they get
stored.
A FISA court, and they can.
It's not about who has it; it's about who can access.
Let's
it
say he did all of that.
Yeah.
Let's say all of that went away. Do we trust a government who started this whole program saying, Verizon customers, you're the only ones we're getting top line metadata, that's it.
Yeah.
Then it went to every phone company. Then it went to the search engines. Then it went to the social media. Do you see? Then yeah. they're collecting 20 million text messages yeah. a day. And they have an intercept facility in Utah where they're taking laptops and selling software and shipping them back to unbeknownst to the You think that a president that said this is only Verizon customers, knowing that it was so much more, now he's going to, okay, well, we're going to dial this back.
This was the other thing that he did was to kick it and say that we ought to, in a democracy, have a fair discussion about it. Kicked it to Congress and said, let's set some rules and let's engage the Congress in this. Now,
okay. That's Congress where it gets
not,
weird.
Well, the interesting thing, Congress hasn't been able to do much of anything lately.
But on this, though, this is the weird part. This is there's a lot of bipartisan support. There's a lot of Democrats, a lot of Republicans.
Very, very strange bedfellows.
Odd, right?
Because yeah. in traditionally, for the last 50, since at least the Cold War, mm-hmm. The Republicans have been the pro-security people. They want, in effect, bigger, more government rights to
yes.
intrude or whatever. Mm-hmm. The Democrats have been more against it.
Mm-hmm.
But on this particular issue, there's a specific wing within the Republican Party, the Pauls
yes.
and others, the Libertarians, whose position on these issues is much, much closer to the Democrats. So it's bipartisan only in the sense that you have some Republicans who ally with a lot of Democrats on this particular issue, who are very suspicious of government in this area and would tend to curtail the ability of government to get involved in this more than would the national security, the Dick Cheney kind of national security Republicans who interestingly in this case are for relatively unrestrained government power.
Right. Now, but then we have the Democrat Party, the entire Democrat Party.
Pretty much.
That is run against this their whole career, right? But a lot of them voted for the Patriot Act. Let's get into
The Patriot Act, as you pointed out, was used as a sledge.
Sure it was.
Anybody who voted against the Patriot Act would no longer be in office.
It was called the
right
Patriot Act. It said Patriot right there. You don't vote for it.
Are you a Patriot?
Yeah.
Yes or no? So that was
part of the
wedge that was hit.
Right.
Over the head of everybody. Everybody was scared to death to vote against
him. But now we have a president, the head of the Democrat Party,
right,
who is now, he just ran a 30-minute commercial on every network across the country for the NSA. They have to break ranks if they want to go against this. It puts them in a really odd position.
Absolutely, because they want to support the president, but on the other hand, their instincts are things like NSA surveillance should be curtailed more than not.
Absolutely.
So they've got this conflict. I don't think the Republicans have conflict. They're just split. They're two separate groups.
Right, there's two camps, yeah.
And they don't
Absolutely.
Agree with one another.
Right.
A Democrat in Congress is instinctively going to want to curtail the NSA, but not undermine the president, and those two things push him in totally different directions.
We're getting so close to a third party. We're getting so close.
But everything, a third party, you want to talk that, everything in the system makes that really difficult. The only chance really for a third party is if it's run by a guy who is a billionaire, because the chances of raising significant money by a third party,
right.
We got Michael Bloomberg has the capacity to do it if he has the inclination. It's got, without significant personal wealth, and the reason that's important is you could pump the money in yourself. For a third party genuine movement, even though there's a lot of disaffected people, money gets raised in politics for people who have a chance. You come along,
right.
You say, I want a third party. What everybody says is, wait a minute, you don't have a chance.
Right.
So.
And it's the tough part. But now we're still stuck with this. We haven't changed anything. Whether we go 2 degrees of separation from a assumed or alleged terrorist in Yemen, or we let the phone companies charge us more because they've got to store all this data now. What
well, that's
what really happened?
Well, limited. I mean, if you're that third degree out, is a whole lot more people than two, exponentially more. So I that's not the be-all and the end-all. That curtails it somewhat. But does it really change the game? No, it does not. That's the part where he kicked it to Congress and said, listen, I'm not taking this all on myself. This ought to be a discussion that's a part of the Democratic small-d Democratic political process.
His whole security panel, an interior security panel today released yesterday evening, they called this illegal.
Yeah. Not only illegal, but ineffective.
Ineffective and illegal. By the way, going back to the speech, two of his panels, his security panel and then his research panel, both said, we can't prove that anything, this stopped any terrorism.
That really undermines the argument for
yet, on the speech, he said it stopped 50 acts of terror.
Well, as an analyst, that makes me want to dig deeper and say, all right, prove it.
No, we wanted to prove. That's why the first panel was. Prove it. Good. Tell us. They couldn't. Now this one, this week, said it's illegal. You need to cut this thing.
And this is where I'm on you, Mike. If that holds up and it's not effective, then that undermines the argument for doing very much in this area. Because the only argument for doing it is we don't like it. It's against our instincts. But if it's really going to save us from terrorist attack, we might be able to live with it. If it doesn't have effectiveness, then there's no justification whatsoever.
Ask the people in Boston if it's effective.
Well,
do you see? And then that's where if we don't get a hold of this, we will just keep saying, well, it's 50. We have the president telling us 50, and we're going to have to believe it and know that every text message I send to Dr. O'Neill is going to get sucked up by the NSA.
And again, people don't like that when we're talking about our stuff. It's when we're but we want to monitor those terrorists. We just don't want to monitor the good people. The problem, again, you come to is you don't know who's who often until after the fact.
Tuesday is the State of the Union address. Tuesday's the State of the Union. I'm sure this will be a topic. This economic inequality is going to be a topic. It's going to be fun to watch. We're going to cover it right here on KTR. Hey, it's a short show. We got to get out of here. Thanks for being with us, folks. This is The Think Tank right here on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.